neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to repeat that verse because the word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we're going to read that verse again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the second verse is in the book of the Hebrews, Hebrews in chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. That's a question. I suppose it's a rhetorical question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And we'll see before the meeting finishes in the will of God that there is no escape. There is no escape from divine judgment for those that neglect this great salvation. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word tonight. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're going to look tonight at the great subject of salvation. The writer to the Hebrews talks about great salvation. In fact, he talks about so great salvation. It's almost as if he can't find words to describe the wonder of the salvation that he's found in Christ. It's so great, it's so wonderful, it's so marvellous. So great salvation. I wonder tonight, are you rejoicing in salvation? From your own personal experience, can you speak about the great salvation of God in your life? You know, those that have really entered into salvation have got a joy in their hearts and a peace in their hearts and a satisfaction in their hearts that they could find nowhere else but in salvation. I wonder tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? The old-fashioned preachers, they used to ask that question time and time again. And I remember when I was a youngster going to gospel meetings in Kilmarnock, and I tell you time and time again, the old preachers asked us the question, are you saved? Maybe some of the preachers nowadays are a bit too sophisticated and they don't like to get to the point and they like to skirt round the edges and they want to be popular and they want to tickle ears. Well, I tell you, if you've come to get your ears tickled tonight, you've come to the wrong place. We want to be straightforward. We want to be direct tonight. And at the start of the meeting, I want to ask every individual in the hall, are you saved? Are you rejoicing tonight in this so great salvation that God has provided for you and for me? Salvation. We're going to think about who needs to be saved. You know, the reality is that everybody needs to be saved. The reality is that you need to be saved. In fact, Peter, as he spoke in Acts chapter 4, he says, not only do you need to be saved, he says, you must be saved. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you have heard it before, but you have just chosen to ignore the fact that you've just chosen to sidestep the issue. Well, I trust that as the message is preached tonight, that you'll be able to sidestep it no more. But I trust that you'll face up tonight, not only to your personal need of being saved, but I trust tonight that you would realise that you not only need to be saved, but you must be saved. You must be saved. Every person in the meeting needs to be saved. It's a universal need. It's a common need. It's the common need of all mankind. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old in the meeting, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're religious or irreligious. Doesn't it matter your background, whether it's a good background or a bad background. The reality is that you're sitting in this little hall tonight and you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And the reason we need to be saved is because we're sinners. Every one of us, oh, there might be young sinners and old sinners and religious sinners and irreligious sinners, but the reality is that we're all sinners. And as sinners, we need to be saved. They tell me, are you saved to me? Can you look back to a point in your life when you were saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Saviour? I spoke about it the other night there, I think it was Thursday night. I spoke about the night that I got saved. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I can picture the very spot. A wee back bedroom in a council house in 41 Morven Avenue in Kilmarnock. And I get down on my knees and I trusted the Lord Jesus to be my Saviour. In that moment I got saved. I was just an ordinary boy. I hadn't done anything wrong. But I knew at that point in my life, I knew that I needed to be saved, and I knew that I must be saved. And I get down on my knees, and I ask the Lord Jesus to be my Saviour. Tell me, are you saved tonight? Has there been a time in your life when you realised that you needed to be saved and that you must be saved? And has there been a time when you were saved? We all need to be saved. And we must be saved. We must be saved if we're going to be in heaven. Well, you don't need to join a church to get to heaven. You don't need to be baptised or christened to get to heaven, but you need to be saved to get to heaven. We mentioned last night that most people that we meet want to be in heaven. But the reality is it's only those that are saved that are going there. Now, are you saved tonight? You're going to heaven. Is that the prospect that's before you? Is that the great goal that's in front of you? That one day when you close your eyes in death, you're going to be in heaven. Heaven's real, you know. Heaven's where the Saviour is. And heaven will be populated by men and women from every country of the world that are saved. Now tell me, you're going to heaven. Do you have the assurance that you're going to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that when you die, you're going to be with Christ in heaven? My friend, if you're going to be in heaven, then you'll need to be saved. You'll need to be saved. Why do men need to be saved? Well, men need to be saved because they're lost. And they're in danger. You see, that's what sin brings about in men's experience. It brings them into a condition of being lost and in danger. Lost to God and in danger of perishing away from God forever. That's the consequences of sin. Terrible thing to be lost. Maybe you've experienced that in a physical way. Maybe you found yourself in a strange country or a strange city and you know you just lost your bearings and suddenly you found yourself lost. You didn't know where you were. You didn't know where you were going. You didn't know where you'd come from. Just lost. Terrible feeling, isn't it? Of isolation and loneliness and anxiety. Fear grips you. Lost. Lost. The people in the meeting tonight, and right now you're lost. A young man came into the cafe in Cumnock some time ago and he sat down and he said, Ian, I need to speak to you. He says, Ian, I'm lost. I'm lost. Lost. He was born and brought up in Cumnock. He knew that he was sitting in the little helping hand cafe in 20 Glacenor Street. He knew where he was physically, geographically, but he was talking about spiritually. He was just lost. He didn't really know where he'd come from or where he was or where he was going. He was lost. He was fearful. He was anxious. Maybe you're like that tonight and you're lost. You don't really know where you've come from, and you don't know where you're at in life, and you don't really know where you're going, and you don't know why you're here. Just lost. Horrible feeling, isn't it? People try to grapple with the great truths about life and death, the realities. Why are we here? Where are we going? What's it all about? Maybe you've listened to so many opinions and so many answers to these questions, and it's all left you confused, and you just feel lost and just wandering through the maze of this world. Lost in sin. And searching for the proper way, searching for the way to God, searching for satisfaction in your present life, and longing to know that at the end of life it's heaven, but right now you're lost and you don't have the answers. That's why you need to be saved. Lost in the maze of this world, lost in sin, wandering from God. The Bible tells us that men are just like sheep. Way back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. We've got ourselves lost." And you know, we do like to go our own way, don't we? Even the youngest child doesn't like to be told what to do. They like to go their own way. They like to exert their own will. And the tragedy is we have got a will that is sinful. We've got a nature that is sinful. And when we go our own way, it's the way of sin. It's the way of rebellion. It's the way of disobedience against God. And it results in us being lost. Needing a saviour. Because you see, one of the things about the sheep, when a sheep gets lost, it can't find its way back home. It needs somebody to go after it. It needs someone to save it. And my friend, you can't find your way back to God. You need someone to come out after you. You need someone to come and save you. And praise God, that's what the Lord Jesus did. He came out to save us. He came to rescue us. Are you saved today? Are you still lost? Are you still wandering in sin? Oh, you need to be saved because you're lost in sin, and you need to be saved because you're in danger of perishing eternally in hell. Well, hell's real as well. Heaven's real, but hell's real. We've got to face up to that, you know. You have been at many funerals in my day. And I've listened to people speaking at funerals, and, you know, they speak about heaven, but they don't speak about hell. It's as if everybody's just going to land on the shores of heaven someday. Well, if everybody's going to heaven, what's hell all about? Why did God create a hell if everybody's going to heaven? That seems strange to me. The Bible tells us that everybody's not going to heaven. The Bible tells us that those that will be in heaven are those that are saved. So if you die unsaved, if you die still wandering in the path of sin, going your own way, then you're going to miss out in heaven. You're going to be in hell. Hell's real. It's maybe not as real to my heart as it should be. Maybe if it was as real as it should be, maybe there would be tears in my eyes today. Because I think when the Lord Jesus spoke about hell, and he did speak about hell, I think there would be a sob in his voice. I think there would be a tear in his eye when he spoke about hell. But hell is the eternal abode of those who die unsaved. So my friend, you need to be saved because you're lost in sin and you're perishing. You're in danger of perishing in hell under God's judgment forever. You need to be saved. And my friend, you must be saved. Who can save us? Who can save us? Well, there's only one that can save us. That's what Peter preached, didn't he? In Acts chapter 4, the verse that we read. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the precious name of Jesus. Jesus the Saviour. That's what Jesus means. That was the words of the angels, wasn't it, to his mother, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. You see, salvation is not in our good works. Salvation is not in our attendance at religious meetings. Salvation is not in our prayers. Salvation is to be found alone in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. Christ alone is the Saviour. Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted the Lord Jesus? Has there been a moment when you've received Him, when you've acknowledged your need as a sinner, and you've trusted Christ to be your Saviour? Because there is no other Saviour. And if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're lost tonight. And if you die in that condition, you'll perish. Because there's no salvation out with Christ. And the verse we quoted last night and preached on last night was in John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's the singular, unique way of salvation. There's no salvation out with Christ. The reason the Lord Jesus can make such a tremendous claim is because of who He is. Because of what He did. Who is He? He's no less than the Son of God. He's Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus. That life that the Lord Jesus lived upon earth was a life of absolute sinless perfection, a holy life. And that tendency to sin that's in your heart and mine was foreign in His. You could say, "The prince of this world cometh," that is Satan, "and he's got nothing in me," nothing. Absolutely impeccable in his character, sinless through and through. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinless one, came to offer his sinless life as a sacrifice for sin at Calvary. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came to make one offering for sin. And that offering was himself laid down on the altar at Calvary. Because of who he is and because of what he accomplished at the cross, the Lord Jesus can claim tonight singularly, uniquely, to be the only Saviour. The only Saviour. My friend, if there was any other way whereby men could get saved, why the incarnation of Christ? Why was he born? Why did he live? Why did he die? Why the sufferings of Calvary if there was any other way whereby men could be saved? My friend, there was no other way. And there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. And the Lord Jesus, that sinless one, was the only one that was qualified to lay down his life on account of others and provide salvation for those that would trust in him. My friend, there's salvation alone in the person of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus hung on that cross, men cried to him, "Save yourself. If thou be the Christ, save yourself." These thieves that hung on either side, they said, "Aye, save yourself and us." Someone told me going out the hall the other night there that they were reading a book by F.B. Meyer, and in that book F.B. Meyer spoke about the unsaved Saviour. The unsaved Saviour. Save yourself and us. He couldn't save himself. Or we could never have been saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself to go to that cross. He voluntarily went to that cross and he hung on that tree and exposed himself to the outpouring of God's wrath against sin in these hours of darkness. The Bible says that God spared him not, but God delivered him up for us all, delivered him to Calvary. and poured his wrath, his righteous judgment against sin, was poured out on his lonely son on the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus was the one that was unsaved. There was no rescuer for him. There was no deliverer for him. Into the darkness he must go. Into the depths of suffering he must plunge. And taste the bitterness of death he must, in order that he might provide salvation for you and for me. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You must be saved. You must be saved. And salvation alone is in the person of the Lord Jesus. How can you be saved? How can you be saved? Well, there's a wee verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and it tells us how we can be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I told you I was going to be simple, and there really can't be anything more simpler than that, can it? And if you know tonight that you need to be saved, and you know you must be saved, and you know that salvation alone is in the person of the Lord Jesus and on the basis of the work at Calvary, then call on his name and he'll save you. That's his promise. Whosoever. That includes everyone in the meeting tonight. Includes everyone in Newcomer, everyone in East Ayrshire, everyone in the broad acres of the world tonight. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that all? Well, that's all I find in the Bible. We've not got to pay something. Are we not going to do something? Are we not going to go somewhere? Well, men will tell you you've got to do these things. But God tells you all that you need to do is call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember that man that hung beside the Lord Jesus? What did he do to get saved? What did he pay to get saved? Where could he go to get saved? He was in the last hours of his life. The blood would be dripping from his wounds. Life was ebbing from his body. He was nailed hand and foot to the tree. What could he do? Where could he go? What could he pay? Nothing. But he was saved. How did he get saved? He got saved the same way as I got saved. He called on the name of the Lord. He says, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Did the Lord hear? Ah, the Lord heard. He heard when the dying thief cried, and praise God, he heard when I cried. And he'll hear when you cry. And the Lord says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. We're saved. We're saved. And he was saved by calling on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's certainty, isn't it? There's no dubiety about that. It's a clear, distinct promise from God that the individual that knows that they need to be saved, an individual that knows that they must be saved, and that only Christ can save them, when that individual calls, then God responds, and they're saved. 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 Are you saved tonight? I'm not asking you if you love to come to the meetings. I'm not asking you if you're a good, moral, upright, living people. I trust you are. But I'm asking you, are you saved tonight? Has there been that time when you called in the name of the Lord? When can we get saved? But what did Peter tell us as he preached in Acts chapter 4? He says, there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself on one occasion as the Son of Man, and he said the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. And that would really tell me that the best time to get saved is really right now, because once we leave this world, there's no salvation in the world beyond. No second chance when we leave this world. We either leave this world saved and bound for heaven, or lost and bound for hell. There's no in between. And when we reach the other side, there's no passing from one realm to the other. It's only under heaven that there's salvation. It's only upon earth that there is forgiveness of sins. There's no forgiveness beyond. There's a man in hell in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. A man that died in his sins. A man that died without Christ. And he's lost. He's lost. He's lost. The Bible says there was a great gulf fixed between him and paradise. A great gulf fixed. My friend, if you die still in your sins, if you die unsaved, you'll find yourself in hell, and there'll be a great gulf fixed between you and heaven. No amount of pleading, no amount of praying, no amount of crying will make a whit of difference. Your eternal destiny will be sealed and sealed forever. If you die in your sins, you'll be lost forever. But isn't it wonderful that you can be saved tonight? We're still on earth. We're still under heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ can still save and still will save all that call on his name. You can be saved tonight. But you might not be able to get saved tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night might be too late for you. Tomorrow night you might be in eternity. The Bible says that life is just like a vapour that just appears and just disappears. We just don't know how long we've got, do we? It's not just the elderly that die. Middle-aged die. Young folks die. Tonight you can be saved. Tomorrow might be too late. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord tonight shall be saved. What does the Lord save us from? He saves us from the punishment that our sins deserve. I tell you, it's good to put your head on the pillow and know that the flames of hell you'll never see. Not that you don't deserve them. I tell you, my friend, I deserve the deepest hell. I'm thankful to God that I'll never experience it, because Jesus died for me. When I called upon him, he saved me. He saved me. Oh, my friend, tonight, he saves us from the punishment that we deserve. He saves us from the power that sin has in our lives now. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, sin no longer has dominion over you. The minute a person's saved, the dominion of sin is broken. As we've said in nights gone past, it's not expected for Christians to sin. There's no reason for a Christian to sin, because the power of sin has been broken. Sin has no dominion over them. They've been set free from it. And John writes and he talks about if a man sin, if a Christian sin, it should be the exception in a Christian's life. Because all the resources are available to us as Christians to live a life in a realm that's sinless. Don't believe in sinless perfection, but I believe that God gives us the resources to live in a sinless realm. That's what God expects. That's what Christianity is all about. Sin no longer dominion. The release from its power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life free from the dominion of sin. But not only does the Lord Jesus save us from the punishment of our sin and from the power of our sin, but he saves us ultimately from the presence of sin. And that's what heaven is. There's no sin there. There's no defilement there. And that's where every saved person is bound for. Bound for heaven. Bound for that sin-free zone to be with Christ. Question that was asked in the last passage was simply this:
in the light of all that we've said, how shall a man escape if he neglects so great salvation?
My friend, I'm sure you'll agree with me that the salvation that we've spoken about is great. It's so great. It's a wonderful salvation. It's wonderful to think that God is prepared to save sinners that call on the name of His Son. But what happens to those that neglect Him? Notice the writer doesn't speak about those who reject it. Those who neglect it. You see, there are not many people that would say, no, I never want to be saved. But they would say, no, I don't want to be saved now. Maybe some other time. Maybe when I'm older. Maybe when I've got things kind of sorted out in my life. Maybe then I'll get saved. But not now. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You don't need to outwardly reject it. You see, there's many people in hell and they're saying, you know, I meant to get saved. I meant to get saved. I knew that I needed to be saved. I knew that I must be saved. I knew that salvation was in Christ and that by calling in Christ I could be saved. And I meant to get saved, but I left it too late. I just neglected it. That would be tragic, wouldn't it? It would be tragic if there was someone in the meeting tonight and you find yourself in hell and you say, I didn't mean to be here. The way of salvation was made clear and plain and I just neglected it. I just put it in the back burner for a wee while and I've missed it. Missed it. My friend, don't miss it tonight. Because you need to be saved. Salvation is being made available in Christ. And you can experience that salvation by calling upon His name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now tell me, are you saved? Are you saved? Don't leave the meeting tonight. You're still unsaved. But ponder it deeply. Ponder it seriously. And just where you sit. Call on the name of the Lord. Our gracious God and our Father, we just thank Thee for this great message of salvation. We thank Thee, our God, for just the revelation of Thy grace and mercy towards men. That Thou art prepared, our God, to save men from the judgment that they deserve. And that salvation, our God, is based upon the sacrifice of Thine own Son at Calvary. What an amazing love, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. God, we think of how that it's so easy just to become hardened to the message. And we just pray, our God, that the Holy Spirit would soften hearts tonight. And those that are unsaved, our God, we pray that they would really be stirred up and awakened and caused to realise that they need to be saved. They must be saved. They must be saved now. And we pray that before they leave this hall, that they would truly call in the name of the Lord and be saved. We ask these things as we ask it in Jesus' name.